got a group of people coming in to chat about a very important issue, and I'll introduce them as they come in. And welcome back to Soil and Nature Breakfast. We have in the studio Jeffrey Alexander X. Is that right?
Yeah.
Correct. And Jacob?
Andrew Arthur.
I always have difficulty with that name. Now, this is an interesting situation because Jeffrey, some people may know that Jeffrey has had a one-person crusade against racism in Melbourne. And in particular, he holds a circular notice with Note to Racism in Flinders Street, and particularly in front of Flinders Street Station. And he has been supported by many people. Even a policeman has given him permission to keep on doing that. And he's been encouraged, and he's been there for over a year, Jeffrey. Would that be right?
Almost 2 years.
So congratulations on your one-person campaign. Now, the thing is, something happened last week.
Yeah.
Now, maybe we should start telling about why you actually started doing that.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say I'm called Jeffrey, and I came to Australia in September of 2005. I came as a refugee from Uganda. And then I came here, I tried to settle into this country. But I'll skip that part, and I'll come to the reason why I started doing my campaign against racism. In 2014, I was racially harassed, I was racially vilified, I was mocked, I was ridiculed, I was humiliated by a doctor at the Royal Dental Hospital of Melbourne. I complained to the hospital. Through the website, and the hospital did not respond to me. So I decided to take the case to the Health Services Commissioner. The Health Services Commissioner contacted the hospital and asked them about my complaint. The hospital denied that nothing happened. So after some period of time, the Health Services Commissioner decided to close the case because the hospital kept denying that nothing happened.
So it was a cop who attacked you?
Yeah, it was. She mistreated me. A doctor at the hospital. So after the Health Services Commissioner closed the case, there was nobody helping me. I was frustrated. I was racially harassed. I was mistreated at the hospital.
Mm.
So I decided to take my case to Australian Human Rights Commission. They told me that because the case was already looked on by the Health Services Commissioner, they cannot look at the case. So they rejected the case. So the hospital denied that I wasn't mistreated. The Health Services Commissioner couldn't help me. And the Australian Human Rights Commission couldn't help me, so I was very frustrated. I didn't have money to go to a court or to pay a lawyer. So what I said I have to do, I decided that I'm going to fight the hospital. So I decided to make signs.
Yes.
They stop racism now, and I made some signs. I went in front of the hospital and I started protesting in front of the hospital. I protested for a few weeks, and then the head of the hospital. And some other medical staff, they came and apologized to me. They said they are very sorry for what I've experienced. And I told them, for a very long time, you guys kept denying that nothing happened. I'm happy that you guys are now apologizing, but I need an apology later. And I also need compensation for the pain caused to me. So they did send me the apology later. And I also gave them some demands. And I told them they have to train their staff on how to deal with talking to people of different color, different races.
Yes.
So they told me that they're gonna do all those things that I've asked them to do, but they did not give me the compensation yet. But so I decided to I said the hospital has apologized, so I have to stop protesting at the hospital. And I said to myself, I have to fight the bigger problem, which is racism. So I decided to take my campaign, my protest from the hospital. I took it to Flinders Street. So I said I have to fight the country. I have to fight racism in the country. So I took my campaign to Flinders Street, and then I started to stand there in Flinders Street and start my campaign. That's how my campaign started. But without the incident at the hospital, I wouldn't have become the person I am known now as an activist. I wouldn't have become like that, you know.
Hmm.
So everything started at the hospital.
That's a great story,
yeah.
And very courageous of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last weekend, something happened at Flinders Street after almost 2 years of protesting.
Yeah.
What actually happened?
Last Friday, you know, I was I was still doing what I used to do every Friday, Saturday, and other days, going there with my signs, and I stand, you know, and I stand in the at the intersection, and, you know, a lot of people take my photos and they post on Facebook, and sometimes people think I'm standing, I'm blocking the traffic, you know, I'm standing on the road or I'm blocking cars, but that's not the case. Before I started my campaign, I did ask permission from the police, and they told me, you're okay to be there. They gave me instructions of how I can be safe on intersection. They gave me all instructions. They told me, if you're on this side, you're safe. Just do not block people crossing. Do not interfere with the traffic. So I was following all the guidelines. Mm. So most of the police who come there, they do understand that. They say, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yep.
So they don't disturb me. But there's some police officers who see me for the first time, and they just come there. They don't want to see me there. They just want to move me out of there. So the ones last Friday, they just came there and they told me to leave the spot where I was standing. I told them, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. I have to. I've got permission from the police to be here. They said, no, you have to leave. You have to leave. They weren't listening to me. So they trying to pull my hand. I said, no, you cannot take me from here. So I was pepper sprayed. I was arrested, and then I was taken to the police station.
What did they do to you in the police station?
Because the pepper spray was too much on my face, went to my neck, arms. It burnt me. It burnt me so much. So once I was inside the police station, the police, they spent almost an hour pouring water on my face. So they kept pouring water until after an hour I started to feel better. But I felt as if my face was on fire. It was as if they poured acid on my face. It was really burning me, you know, it was too much.
And did the police say anything to you while you're in there?
You know, before they pepper sprayed me, they said, we're going to arrest you. But after, like, they started pouring water, I started feeling better. They said, you're not under arrest, you're free to go, but you may get summoned, you know. Then they told me I shouldn't go back there. I said, no, I'm going to go back there because I wasn't doing anything wrong. You guys are wrong. That's what I told them.
Okay. And Jacob, you were there. You witnessed this incident. And I've got Dilman on the line as well. She was another witness. Yeah. And things happened after that. So, Jacob, what did you see?
Well, what I saw was I actually didn't see I wasn't the one. I saw the aftermath of Jeffrey being taken in by police. It was Dilman, who's probably on the line, who can probably tell, talk about
more
directly what she saw. But, you know, in sort of response, I was kind of, you know, for me, my own initial reaction is I was absolutely shocked that, you know, Jeffrey was taken in by the police, and the fact that I've known Jeffrey since last year. He's always been protesting at that particular spot. The police have never raised any issues. It just seemed to have come out of nowhere. It was like a complete shocking
yes,
kind of event that I didn't expect to happen. Of course, I think what we did, because I was campaigning at a store on that particular Friday, what we did was we helped Jeffrey with some legal support.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the legal support sort of gave, but of course, Jeffrey did say he might get summoned late at some point. But I would think he would have a strong case, even though I'm not a lawyer, because, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. And
okay, Dilman, what's your take on the situation?
Yes, good morning, Lali. So I too, like Jacob, on that Friday afternoon was at the Socialist Alliance stall at Flinders Street Station. Can I just add that last Friday was Jeffrey's first day of also holding up a Say No to Pauline Hanson's racism sign as well.
Mm.
That's an interesting
coincidence, isn't it?
It is an interesting coincidence. But that Friday I happened to look over, I saw the three police officers approach Jeffrey, and I thought, you know, I better get my camera out because I had a feeling that, you know, something was going to happen, and, you know, it's always good to have this stuff on camera in case, you need it in the future. But, as I mentioned on the Saturday rally in support of Jeffrey, the pepper spray was definitely not used as a last resort. It was really pulled out within seconds of the police officers approaching Jeffrey. It was really... I was shaken. To be honest, in the hours after the incident, Jeffrey was more calm than I was, because I was shocked to have seen what happened on Friday.
Mm. And you are the one person who was able to video the incident, put it on Facebook, and it went almost viral, didn't it?
I was definitely surprised at how many people had viewed and shared the video, yeah.
Mm, that's a good response for people who want to fight racism. But, Dilman, you also mentioned the rally. Tell us more about what happened.
Yeah. So the next day, which was a Saturday at 5 o'clock, people gathered at Flinders Street Station in support of Jeffrey and to protest against the actions of the Victoria Police on the Friday before. So there was a few speakers, including Les Thomas.
Who's a singer and is a First Nation person.
Exactly right. And so we did have, we also had a Welcome to Country, I believe, from a young woman who's also an Indigenous activist.
Yarraman was her name.
Yarraman, yes. So after we kind of gathered at Flinders Street Station, we moved to the intersection with Jeffrey usually protest and was arrested. Jeffrey had requested for an apology by Victoria Police. I also spoke at that rally and requested that the police officer responsible was sacked from the police force. Mm. That rally also received some pretty good media attention, in particular the Age newspaper. So I'm glad we were able to get our message across that afternoon.
Mm. So you called a rally within a matter of 24 hours, didn't you? And quite a few people turned up.
It wasn't me that actually organised the rally. I'm not sure. But within minutes of the video reaching Facebook, there was a rally organised in support of Jeffrey. I'm not sure who actually organised that rally, though.
Yeah. It's kind of
spontaneous.
It's kind of quite spontaneous because an anonymous, but not anonymous as in the actual organisation, but it's a particular Facebook group that just called the rally, and I've never heard of them before. Like, there's possibly some activists I actually know, but it's hiding under the banner because I could actually,
but that's good.
I could easily create a Facebook page and then create a rally. Like, it's just very, very
no, but easy. That's beside the point. The fact is, there was such important response and an incredibly quick response. Now, how did you feel about that, Jeffrey? I mean, the fact that so many people responded to this thing that happened to you.
I was very happy. I was very happy. It showed me that I'm not alone in this fight. It showed me that there are a lot of people out there who support me. So I was very happy to see hundreds of people coming. So I was happy, and I gave speeches, and I told them that I haven't done anything wrong. It's Victoria Police that is wrong. And after giving my speech, I said, I'm going to go back. And I told them, if you want to follow me, you're free to come. So people followed me, and I went to the spot where I do stand. And I did ask the police to apologize. And they're just looking at me, and they just shied away and moved away. So yeah, but I was happy with the turnout of people. So it showed me that a lot of people are concerned about the issues happening here in our society, the problem of racism.
So let's take a quick break, and I'm waiting for one more person to join us, and we're going to try and put this in a broader context, because it's been quite a topic of discussion since the elections, especially with, as Dilman mentioned, the fact that you held up the anti-Hansen placard. Yeah. It just may be a coincidence, but everybody's very suspicious of why they actually took you on a day when you were going to hold that particular...
Maybe probably Hansen supporters send the police to come and send me away from there.
You never know, do you? All right, so let's go to some community announcements for a couple of minutes. If you've just tuned in, this is 3CR and Solidarity Breakfast. Welcome back to Solidarity Breakfast. You're with Jeffrey Alexander X and Jacob Andrew Arthur. Yes, did I say that correctly?
No, yes, that correctly.
And this is Lalitha here. We're still waiting for one more guest, and there's Dilman Rahman on the online as well. We're discussing the incident that happened to Jeffrey Alexander last Friday, where he was pepper sprayed by the police for holding a sign that he was given permission by the cops originally almost 2 years ago to be able to do that with all the legal things on his side. So Jeffrey has a few more things to say. Let's listen to Jeffrey again.
Okay. First of all, I want to talk about racism in this country. I want to say that one out of five people living in this country has experienced racist abuse.
Yeah.
And then you find one out of five school students experience racism every day. Then one in 20 Australians say they have been physically attacked because of their race. Then you find most migrants from Africa have experienced racism and discrimination here in Australia.
And you come from Uganda.
I come from Uganda. That's in East Africa. And then you find almost every young black male, like myself, living in this country has been racially abused or discriminated against one time. Mm-hmm. If you find a guy like me who said, you know, I haven't been racially abused, I haven't been discriminated against, it means he's still new in this country. He's been here for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but it's not going to be long before he realizes what's really going on in this country. So you find all of us have been mistreated or discriminated against or racially abused. And then you find one out of five migrants have been told to go back to their country. It's a fact. And if you look at this country, you see the national anthem says it begins with, Australians all, let us rejoice, for we are young and free. Yes, we are young, but I don't think we are free. We cannot be, I don't think, yes, we are young, but many of us are not free. We cannot be free or rejoice if we are treated as second-class citizens. We cannot be free or rejoice if we are racially abused or discriminated against. We cannot be free or rejoice if some people in our society are disadvantaged while others are privileged. We cannot be free. We cannot be free or rejoice if the indigenous people continue to be mistreated and discriminated against on the land of their ancestors, the land they have been living on for thousands of years. We can only be free or rejoice if we stop the racism and discrimination and live and love one another and love and be like brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Love one another, brothers and sisters. I want to say something that with me, like me coming to Australia as a refugee or because I'm black, doesn't mean like I have no right to speak up regarding issues affecting our society. I took an oath. I'm an Australian citizen. People should stop calling me a refugee all the time. Whether it's on TV, whether it's on the radio or whatever, they say refugee. You find someone is called a Sudanese, the person has an Australian passport and also votes on election day. But they cannot call him as Australian. They still continue to call him as Sudanese. You know, you cannot, you don't have to be white to be Australian. You don't have to be born here to be Australian. You can look at the former Prime Minister, Tony Abbott and Julia Gillard. They weren't born here, but they became Prime Minister of this country. So you don't have to be born here. You don't have to be white to be Australian. You don't have to eat Vegemite or play cricket or footy to be Australian.
Yes.
Anybody of any race, of any skin color can be Australian. So I want to tell the Australian people, I am an Australian citizen. People should stop calling me all the time refugee, Ugandan. I mean, I'm an Australian. I'm all the time campaigning against racism on the streets. I am an Australian citizen. And I do vote in every election. So you should know that I care about this country and I have the rights like any other citizen of this country. I'm not a refugee coming here to protest against various issues. I'm a citizen of this country concerned about what is going on in this country. I want to say, I think I should.
That's fine. That was extremely heartfelt, Jeffrey.
Yeah,
thank you very much. We'll give you a bit of breather. And welcome to the discussion, Sue. And Sue Bolton is a councillor in Moreland City Council. And she organized an anti-racism rally in Coburg earlier this year. And there were certain repercussions that happened there. And Sue, good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
A bit of a rush in this morning. So what has been the fallout? I mean, I know you're standing for your position again, and it is something that every citizen is concerned about because of the rise in racism and the election of the extreme right wing in Queensland and across the country into the Senate in the form of Hanson and so on. So what is your take on what's happening in Moreland and a general view of racism and the way it's travelling in Australia?
Well, I think there is some divided opinion in Moreland. And, you know, of course, attitudes within Moreland are affected by the same sort of issues that are affecting all Australians, as in the sort of propaganda machines, the encouragement towards a racist viewpoint. And, you know, probably what you can see in Moreland at the moment as a result of the election of One Nation and the encouragement of One Nation by the Liberal Party is that there are some people now who are openly, proudly racist. We did a stall in Coburg a couple of weeks ago on a Friday, and there were several people who came up to our stall who were proudly racist. And once, like, say, 10 years ago, that would not have happened. It would have been very rare for someone to be openly racist. People might have been openly racist to their friends and family, but, you know, they felt, you know, that they had to keep those sort of racist views in the closet. And so that is one viewpoint. And certainly, you know, we've had a few people come up to say, you know, I'm going to make sure Sue Bolton gets chucked off council because of all the damage she caused to Coburg by organising this anti-racism rally. And the viewpoint being put forward by those people is that Moreland is a beautiful, culturally harmonious place where nothing racist ever happens. We blend together so beautifully. We've got this beautiful Moreland utopia. Now, maybe Moreland is better than some other areas in that regard, but I know for a fact that there are racist things happening in Moreland. And in particular, a Muslim woman came up to me the other day. She said, there's a lot of racist issues, because you can't fight every single comment that's racist that's made towards you. But she said this incident was, she felt much more extreme, and she wanted to join my anti-racism movement, as she as she described it, because I organised the rally. And what had happened to her is she went into a shop that she goes into not every week but periodically, and the woman who ran the shop, I don't know if she was an owner or a worker, was very rude to her. And she said, you know, speak nicely or civilly to me. And this woman then ordered her out of the shop and said she didn't want her kind coming to the shop. This particular woman is a covered woman. And, you know, that, you know, there is something which we do have to tackle, we do have to stand up against. And I don't think it is sufficient to just say we're a beautiful, multicultural, harmonious community. You actually have to go beyond that and oppose racism. But also, I think the other thing we have to do is, which has to go hand in hand with building an anti-racism movement, is to also build a political alternative to neoliberal pro-rich, anti-poor economic policies that we're having thrust down our, rammed down our throats in Australia and around the world.
And how do you connect that economic policies of liberal governments across the world, really, and in particular now it's more noticeable in Australia, how do you connect racism to the current economic policies, sir?
Well, I think it's probably there's two elements to that. Firstly, I think it's the age-old adage that, when you keep people, you keep people divided, then you can rule over people more easily. So that while people are attacking each other, they can, the ruling class can, get away with carrying out all sorts of attacks while we're focused on fighting each other. Mm. And I think it's the age-old principle that the union movement has campaigned on, is United we win, divided we fall. And racism is disastrous for the union movement. And I think it is quite clear that the various governments, Liberal Party in particular, but, you know, Labor Party's been guilty of this as well, they've been deliberately creating fear because, you know, in the mid-90s, people in Australia, the vast bulk of people, did not hate refugees, did not demonise refugees. There was a small percentage that might have, but this was is an attitude which has been deliberately created through misinformation, false information, information designed to create fear by governments being fed into the media. And then last year, I think this is a very good example of how fear is created in the Australian population. It first of all looked like Tony Abbott was going to take Australia to invade the Ukraine. Then suddenly IS appeared on our TV screens, beheading various people. And then there were these raids on Muslim, you know, 800 Muslim households across the country. And the police and politicians announced to the media that the police had seized a sword. Now, of course, a lot of Australians would have been terrified, thinking, oh, you know, I'm facing being beheaded. But it turned out that this was a plastic ornamental sword which couldn't cut a cucumber. It was, and the police would have known that when they took it away.
Thanks, Sue. Dilma, you come from the Muslim community as well. Did you want to add something before I go to Jeffrey to have the last word?
I agree with Sue Bolton, and I think she's been doing great work in the Moreland community to combat racism. I think it is this attitude towards the Muslim population is something I believe that has been, manufactured by the media. And as a result, you know, good, everyday, hardworking Muslims have to pay the price, whether it be they're out shopping, whether it be in the workplace, or whether it be, you know, like Jeffrey in the middle of a peaceful protest.
So it's a combination of a variety of things that the differences, whether it's Islam or whether it's your colour is different or you look different, you have that prejudice. That's a thread that goes along. Jeffrey, last word to you in this discussion.
I just want to say that we should. I want to tell the Australian people we have to stop racism and discrimination because it's affecting our life. It's affecting the way we live. In we're not living a productive life because of this racism. We suffer. We become vulnerable. And you see some of our young African Australians, they end up on the street becoming gangs. You can look at the Apex gangs. They have lost sense of direction, and we don't want things like that to happen. We have to live in a society where everyone has equal rights and opportunities, so we can all thrive and live a better life. And we can only have that if we can love one another and live like brothers and sisters. So I'm going to be campaigning against racism and discrimination for many years to come, and I want to tell the Victoria police to stop disturbing me. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Well said.
Thank you
very much, Jeffrey and Jacob and Sue and Dilman. That was a great discussion. And I think this racism is such an important issue. We've got to keep it going. It is dividing people. It is, in fact, Beyond Blue, which is the depression or the mental health organization for Victoria, has clearly said discrimination is a cause of lots of mental health issues, and hence the connection to health, the health of our nation, young people, migrants and so on, and women and children too. They suffer racism in schools and things. So thank you all. Thank you, Dilman.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again another time.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.